Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is June 24th, 2017. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you right now, I'm very excited. We have a lot going on. Be advised, this show that you're going to be listening to today is going to be recorded and be the premier show for the Rockdale station, KRXT 98.5 FM. We've got a second program now, a second show, second station, and next Saturday, July 1st, will be the first time it airs, but it will be this recorded show. We're going to be going one show behind on the other station. Okay, so it's going to be really good. It's an intense show today. I'm excited to be out there, and it could not have been done without the faithful support of the sponsors that we have on this program. And I want to thank each and every one of them, and we just pray for continued success. And I'm asking you out there, the listening audience, if you know anybody who's interested in sponsoring the program, wants to support the program, if you're enjoying the show, it takes support from people like you. So thank you very much, and continue to support. The number here at the studio, KMIL Studios, is 254-697-6633 if you want to be part of the show. As always, I get my day rocking with a cup of fresh Joe from CEFCO at Hilltop here in Cameron. I want you to go there today, get your paper, pack of smokes, bag of chips, couple Tostitos, whatever it takes to make your day right. You go there, tell the ladies I said sent you, and say hi to them. They're doing a great job, and get yourself some fresh Joe. So it's a really good cup of coffee over there. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got an action-packed show. So what I'm going to do is give you the highlights of what's coming up, and then we'll get right into it here. As always, I'm going to read to you true stories of self-defense, and today I have four. Now, I've read these before, but when I was prepping for today's show, they just stuck out, so I'm going to reread them, and I want you to listen and learn from others. In today's License to Carry an Attorney segment, we're going to be going over the key words LEAPS, PACE, and LISTEN. These three acronyms are used in nonviolent dispute resolution. An attorney extraordinaire, Benton Ross Watson, who's sitting right next to me right now, he's going to go over it thoroughly, what they mean, and how can you use them towards your advantage, okay? Now, after that, I'll go over our topics of interest, important dates and activities that you can plug into both Aaron's Gun Shop and Aaron's High Cap Adventures or Aaron's High Cap Adventure radio program. So we got lots going on, so get your calendars open and ready to take notes. At 11 o'clock this morning, the voice of law enforcement, retired chief of police, Randy Dixon, the connoisseur of common sense, the pontificator of practicality, and an all-around good guy. The voice of law enforcement always has something great to share with us, so stay tuned for that. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms, is the Remington Nylon 66 22 long rifle, semi-auto rifle. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very interesting gun. It looks great, it shoots great, and has a very interesting history. I'm going to tell you all about it during the product spotlight segment. I'm very excited about this, and ladies and gentlemen, you need to be excited as well. My special guest today will be retired Green Beret Mark Boyer. Mark will be giving us critical information if we plan to travel abroad. With 30 years of experience traveling the world, this is a no-miss interview. This guy has got it down. If you're a first-timer going abroad, you need to listen. If you're a military contractor or whatever, and you're not sure, this is a must-listen-to interview, okay? So, without further delay, let's officially start the show. I'm going to start it with our NRA segment, the three stories, or actually the four stories today, of self-defense in real life. And you're going to get a laugh for two out of a couple of these. This particular one comes out of March 2015. It reads as follows. An armed robbery suspect got a surprise when the man he was robbing pulled out a gun instead of his wallet. The attempted theft occurred in Delay Beach, Florida, in early December. The man who was accosted pointed his gun at the suspect and told him to get on the ground. The suspect originally complied, but he later ran away, leaving behind his .38 caliber revolver. When the armed citizen was distracted, he ran away. The police have made an arrest, and the man faces robbery and aggravated assault charges. Now, my excellent commentary. Okay, a gun wallet holster. They're good. They work as illustrated in this story. The man being robbed then took control of the situation and told the robber to get on the ground. Very good. Oh, but wait. For all the good he did, he blew it by taking his eyes off the threat. Ladies and gentlemen, never, ever take your eyes off the threat. If you do, it can come back to bite you, or worse. Story number two. This is from August 2015. I think some of you guys are going to enjoy this. Rifles come in handy for self-defense. A St. Regis, Montana woman used a .22-250 Remington rifle to fend off a bear. The woman and her husband were watching TV late one night when they heard a noise outside. The husband opened the door to investigate, and the bear charged. The woman shot once, felling the animal 8 feet from the home. Woo. My commentary. I got this one for you guys out there. Well, heck, in this day and age, maybe some of you ladies, too, will dig this, but your woman covering you, overwatching you with a .22-250 rifle, and then dropping a bear 8 feet from you, saving your life? Talk about an aphrodisiac. All right, moving on. Story number three, February 2015. Police arrested a 32-year-old North Hills area man for allegedly trying to rape a woman while she was sleeping. You heard that right. The woman awoke with a man on top of her making sexual advances. She resisted, screamed, and pulled his hair before freeing herself and running to the closet for a shotgun. The woman pointed the gun at the intruder and told him to get out of the house. He began dressing frantically and fled, but not before she recognized him as the son of a neighbor. Later, the suspect was arrested, arraigned on numerous charges, and committed to the county jail. My commentary. I must applaud this woman. She held it together. She had her wits about her and raced to defend herself. After the woman pointed the shotgun at the would-be rapist, I don't think he was up to the task anymore. But talk about stupid. She tells him to get out of the house, yet he tries to get dressed. And on top of that, he didn't think he'd be recognized as the son of a neighbor. These are weird times we live in, indeed. Now, story number four, last story. This comes from January 2015. Alice Woodruff heard noises outside her home around 10:30 a.m. When she went to investigate, she found a nude man attacking her dog in the backyard. Woodruff grabbed her pistol as a family member dialed 911. She then ran to her car to retrieve the gun's magazine. She kept her distance from the man and warned him not to come toward her as he ranted about being with ISIS and having Ebola. He then claimed to be the Antichrist, and then Woodruff held the man at gunpoint until police arrived shortly thereafter. After nearly 2-hour chase, the assailant was arrested and is suspected to be charged after his release from the psychiatric placement in a local hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, do I really need to comment on this? Let's use the key words. Man, naked, dog, ISIS, Ebola, Antichrist. Fact is stranger than fiction. And here's a perfect example of that. Okay, so that is the true life stories. Now, real quick, while I still got time, I'm going to read to you my opinion piece. Some of you are going to like it, some of you aren't. For those of you who like it, thank you. For those of you who don't, I really don't care. So here we go. It's titled Arrogant. Maybe. Ladies and gentlemen, I swore an oath to uphold and protect the U.S. Constitution from enemies both foreign and domestic. I, like millions of others in uniform, have done and are doing the same thing. One of those precious things in the Constitution is freedom of speech. And for those of you who say, well, you can't say fire in a crowded theater when there is no fire, you just need to hush because you're probably part of this problem anyway. I'm talking political opinions, ideas, debates, etc. What I didn't sign up for are for you dirtbags who openly state that they want to, or want someone else to, kill or assassinate a sitting president of the United States. As much as I cannot stand our last president, I searched for whatever good I could find in him and did my part to get him elected out of office. If I ever heard someone even hint to the effect that he should be killed or assassinated, I would shut that conversation down instantly. You do not do that. Not in this country and not on mine or any other service member's watch. What I'm seeing done by so-called comedians cutting the head off our current president, or actors portraying our current president as Caesar, then stabbing him to death, is beyond the pale. And I believe those who like it or are in favor of it are sick, demented individuals. What kind of example are these people giving to our children, or for the world for that matter? Already we have seen violence at baseball fields, or someone who has a bumper sticker on their car of a different opinion being almost stabbed to death. What happened to debate, the sharing of differences, the communicating of ideas, the heart that screams duty, honor, country? I'll tell you what happened to it. It's been diluted, polluted, manipulated, thwarted, perverted, discarded by the need of satisfaction instead of for the good of your fellow man. This country needs a cleansing, a reboot to what that flag represents. The flag should never change what they stand for. It's the perverted, sordid gain of those in charge who alter its true meaning. It's the goose that lays our golden eggs. And from what I see, the goose is almost cooked. Let's all find honor and go back to it. Let's make our country greater than it already is. And that's my opinion. All right, Joel, let's take a break with Twin Bale.
Sometimes things happen. It might be trouble or a tough spot. Whatever the reason, you should be sure to have the right people on your side. So contact Twin Pistol Bail Bonds and Cameron anytime at 254-697-3035. Just ask for Lisa Roden or Dustin Thomas. Trusted associates, Twin Pistol Bail Bonds also accepts credit and debit cards. Call them at 697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, serving the Milan County area.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. It's AC/DC for those about to rock, and we're about to rock here because I've got attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson with me. Ross, what's going on, buddy?
Man, I'm ready to rock and roll.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to set this up first before we start talking here about this topic. Let me get the audience squared away here with our License to Carry and Attorney segment. Last week in my License to Carry segment, we were talking with Rick here about other ways sometimes other than using guns and ammo to get out of a situation. We were talking about how to defuse or de-escalate a situation before the need of a gun arises. So last week we talked about ego states, all three of them, and how all of us have them and how they can be triggered for good or for bad. Well, today's License to Carry segment and the law segment, we're going to go over with Ross the key words, which are LEAPS, PACE, and LISTEN. And all three are acronyms to help you remember better what each topic means. We'll also cover the common signs of emotional disturbance which could result in someone becoming violent. But before all that, I'm going to read to you a paragraph explaining what winning syndrome is. If we understand this syndrome, it will make understanding all the rest that much more easier. Is that how you say it? Much more easier. Okay, so let me read that now to you. It's called the winning syndrome. Each one of us have within our subconscious what is called a survival instinct. When in a verbal encounter, this instinct starts to show as we are confronted with information from the other person that puts our own position in jeopardy. As humans, our survival is the predominant factor that drives our lives. Winning means surviving. In other words, to survive, one must win. When in an encounter, verbal or physical, our survival depends on us being the ones that wins. As we start to see our side losing, we escalate the situation without knowing it by raising or changing the tone of our voice, even to direct statements intended to provoke the other. We need to remember that this survival instinct is also in the other person and works just like yours does. You can defuse the situation by simply saying to yourself, I win if I let them win. Use the LEAPS method of conflict de-escalation to get back on track. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about LEAPS, LISTEN, PACE, these acronyms of nonviolent dispute resolution, understanding how it works, and all that. So, with all that, attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson, what do you say?
I believe that should probably be called the lawyer syndrome.
Why?
I mean, sounds to me like there's a lot of lawyers out there that get caught up in their causes and feel like they have to win at all costs, no matter what.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're my attorney, I want you with that attitude.
And exactly. And then so you have to balance, right, honesty and integrity and diligence and competency and candor to the court and to the public and your reputation with how far will I go to win? And so it's always a never-ending struggle to balance those concepts. So I think that's why I'm saying I think that could also be called the lawyer syndrome.
Okay,
so,
well, we'll tag it that way then. But why don't we go over what they are? Let's do a basic summary of it.
Say this, like, this is in the Texas Concealed Handgun Association workbook. It's stuff that is taught as part of the curriculum when you apply for a license to carry. It's part of the curriculum that's taught at the classes you go to, or if you go to continuing education or training, right, you're going to hear things about how to de-escalate circumstances that you may approach where you could choose to do something other than use your firearm.
Right.
And so that's what it's highly relevant to these conversations. And I'm always saying on this, I don't know if I always say this show, but I say it all the time that stupid people make me money. Okay, and that couldn't be more true. And so you always have to realize that there are going to be stupid people that make stupid decisions. And I think Squirrel said it best several shows ago, you have a right to do this and you have a right to that, but you ain't got a right to act stupid.
That's right.
And so I think it's always good to focus as part of this license to carry program. It's always good to focus on your character and your actions, and to make sure you're not one of the stupid people. So
that's good, wise advice.
Yes.
Don't want to be one of the stupid ones. But when they're going through the class and they finish the class, they get a form from me that states that they've been there, they've done all the proper time and the proper things that the state requires. But then when they go online to sign affidavits electronically stating that they understand and know all these laws, they're going to be forced on this. If something ever happens, they're going to say, well, didn't you know this? Didn't you know how to de-escalate? So let's go over some of the key words, what they mean, and how we can apply them.
Are we talking about where you want to start, with PACE or?
Let's start with LEAPS right here.
Okay.
We got the acronym. I'll read what it says here in paragraph A. This is one of the most important communication skills known to man. That's listening. In a conflict situation, our parent and child sides really stick out, and we become very self-centered. We want to talk or force over our viewpoints onto someone else. Talking is natural. Listening is unnatural. And they say there's a quote that has been passed down through the years. God gave us two ears and one mouth. Therefore, we should listen more than we talk, right?
Right.
And then right here, it's got the acronym LISTEN. Let's go over the acronym, and let's just talk about each one.
Look at the person, show an interest. So L is look at the person.
The acronym is LISTEN. So each letter of an acronym, he's going to start doing. L is what?
Look at the person.
Which is very important.
And I is for interest, show an interest.
Mm-hmm.
And S is for summarize what was said and repeat it back to the person. And T is for territory, keep a comfortable space or distance between you and the other person. And E is empathize, try to see it from their perspective, put yourself in that person's shoes. N is for nod, to show that you're trying to understand. And S is to smile.
Now, you just broke that down. And if you think about it, we have a conversation. I mean, it should be natural. If we're talking, I'm not going to be looking at the microphone. I'm looking at you, Ross. I want to look at you. I want to show you that you're worthy enough for me to look at you. I don't mean that weird. I'm just saying, it's like you're standing there, you're listening. I should at least give you the common courtesy to look at you. And plus, I'm watching your body language, telling me if you're receiving me or whatever. So
body language is so powerful. Terrence McCarthy is a famous lawyer. He changed the way we do cross-examination as a lawyer and in the courtroom. And so I don't know if for new listeners who are just listening, I love trial work. I do a lot of trial work with Clyde Chandler, who's now deceased. We did a bunch of trials together. I went to the number one trial advocacy school in the nation when I was there, South Texas College of Law. It's what I do. It's why I went there.
That's why you need to call this guy if you got troubles. This guy's doing it.
But Terrence McCarthy, one of his tricks is to get the witness basically just to agree with whatever you says is you look at the witness when you're asking this question, and you smile and you say yeah, and you shake your head
up
and down, and you nod.
Want to say yes.
And they and you and I promise you come and watch me, or and I, if I do it right, I don't always do it a good job myself.
Are you giving away secrets of the court here?
Yeah, I'm giving away some of my secrets here, at least one. Okay, but it's in Terrence McCarthy's book. You can go read it. You look at the witness and you smile and you shake your head, nod up and down. You'll be surprised. They'll do the exact same body movement. They will look at you.
It's mimicking, yeah.
They'll look at you, and they'll smile, and they'll, yes.
Well, let me follow up on that. That's one of my tricks, because when somebody is standing there, I want to show that I'm in favor of their presence. So one of the common little tricks, and it's not really a trick, it's more of a courtesy to them to show that you're into them, you start mimicking their manner. If they cross their arms, you cross your arms. They sway to one side, you sway to one side. You know, if they're looking at you and smiling, you're looking smiling back. So I totally agree with that. I think that's cool. Maybe I was in the class and I didn't know it.
Yeah, there's so many little things like that that has nothing to do with what you're saying. It's all based on body language, and it's all based on appearances and just the way you come across. And so it is a very powerful thing. And so you don't actually have to be saying anything to win.
That's good. I like that. You don't have to say anything to win. I like that. I want to make one comment, though, on keeping a comfortable space. In body language, in my segment that I teach in class about body language, I say there's three levels of defense for me, perimeters, three defensive perimeters. The one is where I can only see. So I have to base judgments on what I see the person doing, body language. Then there's the intermediate ring of defense where I see body language and I can hear things, but I can't hear clearly what they are. So I'm picking piecemeal and I see it. Then there's the interior line of defense, and that's like arm's distance. Stay out of my arm circle. That's just a courtesy. It's like if you're going to watch this on the video, I'm like, hey, Ross, what's going on? That's just like, dude, get back, you know?
And we've talked about assault cases in the past. We've covered so much ground in the last couple of months, but if you remember, I had told a story about a trial that Clyde and I had. I didn't mention it was actually Clyde's case, but we had tried it together. And we won it on a self-defense claim simply because it was a huge man that was accused of punching a woman in the face, and we got a not guilty verdict because the jury didn't like that she was in his personal space.
Wow.
The jury felt like he had a right to remove her from his personal space, and it's because I think people, and that shows, see, that shows that, and it came out basically undisputed facts that she was in his face, in his personal space. Within, people do not like that, and he hit her. He hit her. The jury came back not guilty because they realized nobody's got a right to violate the sanctity of your body, your person, your movement, your liberty. Okay, not even a police officer nor anybody else. Okay. And so that's why they came back with a strong verdict and not guilty and said, we're not going to stand for that. If you get in his face, I would hit you too.
Let me follow up on that. I did an experiment when I was at work one time. A person comes up to me believing I was in a position of power in the sense of information, asking me a question. I'm the person to ask. So the person comes up to me and is within my arm's distance. And I go, okay, I'm saying to myself in the back of my head, that's awkward. So I half step backwards. He half steps forward. I must have moved about 5 feet by the time the end of the conversation was done. And I did it on purpose. I did not stop him from doing it. I wanted to see how far it's going. People, if you do that, you're aching for something. Do not get in a person's personal space. Don't get in mine. I'll tell you that right now. Okay.
Some people probably do it to me when you try to end a conversation and they just, and you're kind of like, okay, man, well, yeah, let you go. And they just keep, and then they go start on a new topic. I'm sure I've done that to people too.
Your hands on the doorknob, your foot's out the door.
Yeah, you're like, trying to get,
and then, I'm trying to go. Can't you read my body language? I'm looking at my watch. All right, we're running out of time. Let's move on here. We went over the acronym LISTEN. Let's go over the acronym, where did it go here? Help me out. Let's go over PACE. PACE, I'll read the paragraph. Conflict De-escalation Techniques. In all his work of verbal communication and its resulting physical escalation, Dr. George Thompson offers these suggestions for redirecting negative behavior into neutral, if not positive, channels. Sounds like psychobabble, but it really works. This technique maximizes the use of words as one's only option of force and theme for what he calls verbal judo. Four elements in the confrontation that must be analyzed and understood by any citizen who carries a firearm are PACE. So let's go over. PACE stands for problem, audience, constraints, and ethical presence. Why don't we go over those?
Problem. I don't know if you remember, we were at the Taylor gun show just maybe a month ago, and I wish I'd have saved that story for this segment, but I had mentioned to you that one of my really good friends, she's in the Austin area, is a police officer. She's maybe shorter than 5 foot, just the cutest thing you've ever seen in your life. And just little, tiny, petite little thing. And she's a police officer, and hardcore police officer. And she's been in law enforcement or other kind of official services, the investigative services, for a long time now. Mm-hmm. And I always just, I'm amazed at how the way that she's able to do so well being a police officer and being an investigator. And I just, working the beat sometimes too. And I ask her, you know, why aren't you not scared? Doesn't bother you going out to these places? Because she works for a sheriff's department, right? So sometimes they go out by themselves.
Yeah, right.
You know, outside of town where there's not a lot of people to come back you up if you get in trouble. She's like, nah, I know how to talk to people.
That's a major weapon right there.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it was powerful to me. It came across very strong. Man, it made me realize, you know,
Another thing that goes with this is personalities. I read a lot of books on personalities. Now, you got the four different types. You got sanguine, choleric, phlegmatic, melancholy. And if you understand the different traits, when you start talking to somebody and you see what category they're in, you say, that's how I'm going to talk. For example, let's say you, Ross, are sanguine, very open, giddy. Hi, what's going on? Hey, and if I come to you, I think it's phlegmatic, where I'm like, sir, this is what we're going to do, number 1, 2, 3, 4. You're going to get bored to death and not like it. But if I go, hey, man, we're going to do this, I'll tell you what, first thing we'll do is this. Aren't you going to receive me a lot better if the communication is more of your liking?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a given, I believe.
So here your little officer friend is saying she communicates well. It's probably because she studies people and knows how to communicate on their level.
Certainly. And I mentioned that at the same show, police officers are master communicators. I feel like their real training is in communicating with people.
Yeah, one of their master comments is, get down! Kidding. Okay. Go on.
We're here. We have a problem. So PACE stands for Problem, Audience, Constraints, Ethical Presence. Problem, we would ask, what has brought about the conflict? Are there underlying circumstances that have generated the conflict? For audience, we're asking, obviously, who the players are, where are they from, what is their cultural background. So we just said we're going to study the person, look, what kind of personality is it, what role is being played by which person here, what circumstances contain the different kinds of role players. The constraints are there any barriers to effective communication? I assume that one would be ethnic, cultural, maybe Hispanic, Ugandan or some foreigner that's in your country that maybe you don't understand very well.
Mm-hmm.
And ethical presence is a total expression of self-control. Words should only be used to state purpose from the adult ego, not to express opinions or make judgments. It's about you. What we just talked about in listening, you're going to try to be empathized with the other person. You're going to try to remain under control. You're going to try to keep your anger level down. You're going to try to speak in a way that's respectful to the other person. You're going to try and listen to this individual. Is there a person within these circumstances or this situation that is able to follow the listens part of the acronym that we just read, and able to really, I think this one is going to empathy and interest and a desire to resolve the conflict instead of winning, instead of the lawyer syndrome.
Right.
Okay, and so these things are obvious that are needed for somebody who is going to routinely carry a weapon, because we want people, and this is why licensed to carry holders have such a very good record in being law-abiding citizens. I mean, statistically, in almost every state, Texas, though, there's just hardly any problems with licensed to carry holders. When you compare it, obviously, I'm sure I know that there's problems.
Sure, there's always going to be problems.
Yeah,
but
statistically, compared to the rest of the population, is a very good group of people. And this is why, because these types of people do go through this training, because when people routinely carry a firearm, we want to make sure that they're not going to fly off the hinges and use that firearm unless they need to use the firearm.
That's right. I totally agree. And since we're running out of time, I'm going to keeping us on check here. I want to make a comment about the immigrants. You've got, ladies and gentlemen, I can't remember a time in my lifetime that we've had such a influx of immigrants, whether they be illegal or legal. The bottom line is, and the fact is, we've got a bunch of them coming in. So there's more of a chance of a language barrier,
exactly,
which could cause a problem. So we have to be aware of that. I know everybody knows that, but I just want to apply that to what we're talking about now. We just got a major influx of people who have a challenge maybe of speaking the English language. We're here. We speak English. They're coming in trying to figure it out. We may have some problems. So keep that in mind. Now, we're going to go over this real quick, the common signs of emotional disturbance. Then we're going to take a one-minute break. And then when we come back, I want to go over a topic of a couple weeks ago, the traffic stop, okay?
Yeah.
So let's talk about this here. Common signs of emotional disturbance could result in someone becoming violent. In a potential conflict situation, there's a number of signs that most mammals exhibit that indicate stress. There is a direct link between distress, negative or harmful stress, and emotional upheaval. Be prepared for emotional distress and respond. That's R-E-S-P-O-N-D, respond, not react, okay? To this, understanding the conflict and working toward a solution. Do not react. React is a lack of training, thus causing the conflict to potentially escalate. I'll tell you what, Ross, why don't you go over our common signs of emotional upheaval and make any commentary you want towards the 10 of them that are listed there.
Well, some of these common signs are said, and I don't know that I agree with every one of these, but I think that it is at least a good general basis, a good idea, and probably, you know, these are probably when it says common, that's probably what it is. I generally agree with that. It's clenched or clenched fist, increased deep and rapid respiration, breathing heavily, sweating, elevated blood pressure, red face, the complexion is showing, the violent verbal outburst, obviously, right, stomping feet and throwing things. You're obviously going to try to de-escalate a situation like that. But crying, tantrum-like behavior, body tremors, stuttering speech, intense or fixed eye contact on a target or focal point, such as a perceived source of stress. I don't understand every single one of these, but let's say like a few. Intense or fixed eye contact, I can tell you right now as a college football player, when there was a offensive lineman that was expected to go to the NFL, and all we had done all week is preach about this guy, and he's in the practice report, and all I'm doing is focus on this guy, and my whole world has been put forth to destroy this person. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, all I did was eye that person right before the game, and it was on.
Well,
it was on like Donkey Kong. So I agree, if you're about to get into a fight, somebody's probably about to be eyeing you down.
Yeah, they're doing a Superman on you.
And so what you need to do is try to see that person who's eyeing you down and maybe try to de-escalate the situation.
All right, well, Ross, look, here's the deal. Real quick, before we take the break, tell everybody how they can make contact with you, because we're going to take a break after that and come back, and I want to make a comment on traffic stop once again.
Primary office location is in Cameron, Texas. I practice all over, including Houston, but my office is at 105 East Main Street in Cameron, Texas. My email is Benton, just my name, Benton, B-E-N-T-O-N, at Watson.legal. Benton at Watson.legal. My phone number is 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140.
Very good. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go over the traffic stop one more time real quick.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capilino Dodd Krebs. Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
4474. Everybody, we are back. June 24th, 2017. We're finishing up our License to Carry and Attorney segment here with Benton Ross Watson, attorney extraordinaire. And a couple of weeks ago, we had talked about the traffic stop. And if you go to my YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel, or you go to the Facebook page on aaronsgunshop.com, you'll get to see that interview or that segment talking about the traffic stop. Well, I saw this article here. This happened, I think, in July 2016. Dash cam video shows officer firing 7 shots into the Castile car. I wanted to read to you because it tells you how fast a traffic stop can go bad if you're not paying attention. Minneapolis. The Minnesota police officer who pulled over Philando Castile politely told the driver that his brake lights were out and calmly instructed him not to pull out his handgun before suddenly drawing his own weapon and firing 7 rounds into the car, a video released Tuesday showed. The dashboard video taken from St. Anthony police officer Geronimo Yanez's squad car illustrated how simple traffic stops shifted in an instant from a routine exchange to a deadly confrontation. Now, I can't go into the whole story, but it's big. They got video of it. You need to look at it and see and listen what happened so you don't make the same mistakes. Ross, you got any comments on that?
Well, let me start off by saying I haven't seen the video. And so I think a lot of times police officers get an unfair reputation or an unfair rap because a lot of the media blows things up without us having knowing all the facts and without seeing the whole situation. I saw the Grisham video, and which is why I gave an opinion on that. I felt like, and I saw the affidavit that was given in that case, and I felt like it was inappropriate. I didn't like how that.
Well, I
that
saw the video on this one, and I saw the in the car video. The only problem is you don't get to see what happens at the gunfire. So all I know is somebody screwed up. So that's what I'm saying.
I was gonna say. Police officers die more in traffic stops than any other situation. And so while it is a normal traffic stop, the police officers go into every single one of those stops, at least most of the time, right, thinking that this could be their life. They don't take it any other type. It's not exactly true, but it's generally true. That's a generally true statement. But I do not agree with how this situation was handled either if the facts are presented as the newspaper shows, because this makes any license to carry holder in the state of Texas at danger of being being shot, in my opinion, if you have an officer who is too young, maybe inefficiently trained, maybe having a very, maybe been on the job a little too long without a vacation, maybe a little paranoid, maybe we didn't look into his past long enough, maybe he just had a bad day, maybe he's going through a family law case. And so I think that there was an overreaction and we didn't follow the de-escalation techniques that maybe we should have. The guy is purportedly said, "Sir, just so you know, I have a gun on me."
Okay, now let me break in here. We get the side of potential lack of training, maybe, or whatever stress on the law enforcement side. Let's go to the civilian side. Not the civilian side, but the person not wearing a badge. Ladies and gentlemen, I brought this up because I want to make this comment. Don't do the cops any favors. Don't think you know it. Do what the officer tells you to do. Get out of the traffic stop as quickly, easily, non-confrontationally, say that, as you can. If there's a problem, deal with it later. Don't be saying, "I got this gun." I mean, in the state of Texas, if you got it on, you got to state that, "Hey, I've got my license, I got my gun on me." But don't start reaching for it. I don't know exactly what happened, but the bottom line is this. Let them see your hands. Don't move your hands quickly. Don't spook the officer, okay? That's as much as I can tell you on that. So we're done with this segment. Ross, once again, it's fantastic to have you on, but I want you to tell everybody once again how they can get a hold of you because you're passionate about what you do.
Benton Watson here in Cameron, 105 East Main Street. My email is benton@watson.legal. My phone number is 254-605-4140.
Fantastic. Joel, let's take a long break. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is June 24th, 2017. Remember, this will be a recorded show next Saturday, our premiere opening on KRXT 98.5 FM out of Rockdale. We're going to have a great time, and the show will be on from 8 to 10. Now, we've got a lot of things coming up here in the month of July, so let's go over the list of things in this topic of interest section. Once again, like I said, July 1st, KRXT 98.5 FM. It's the premier show. It'll start from 8 in the morning until 10. It's going to be the rerun of this program, and we're going to be one show behind on that station because it's just time lag. I can't get and be at both places at the same time, so we're going to just record one and play it at the other. So if you didn't hear this show all the way, you want to hear it again, you got multiple ways to listen to it. You can listen to my podcast. You can go to the aaronsgunshop.com radio page and listen to it there. You can go and check out segments of it on Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. You can go to the, I think I said, did I say Facebook already? You can go to Facebook, check it out there. We stream it live. There's all sorts of things you can do to listen to this program. Lots of great information, too. Like I said, on the YouTube channel, we've got interviews, product demos, training videos, all sorts of good stuff for you to learn, watch, review, to help you out. Now, on July 14th will be our next round robin. This is getting more intense, everybody. More and more people are finding out about it. And after newbies do it once or twice, they're hooked because it's like, wow, they noticed a major improvement from the first time to the second time. The second time gets even better. And by the time the third, fourth, or fifth round robin comes by, they're competitors. As long as they listen to the tips and tricks that are given, you can become a competitor very quickly in this round robin. And what I like about it, it's not just a competition to get a trophy. It's where you got this set of guns are perfect and you're hooked. This is, and you go in there with the gun you got, you put it on the table and you're shooting everybody else's guns and you got to think quick, move fast, shoot straight. And if you do, who knows, you might win a gun or something. But what's nice about it is it tests you on your speed, your ability to handle other guns, your accuracy, and it's great street training. So I highly recommend, if you want some fun, you need to do the round robin. It's 14th. It's the next one. That's a Friday night. Need you there by about 6:30 because it starts promptly at 7. And if you want details on it, you check out the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gun Shop. Aaron's Gun Shop on the YouTube. And you'll get to see a couple of videos of that. Also, you can go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the top of the homepage, and you'll see a link there for the rules on how the competition is done. If you think about it, though, it's a great way because if you're going to come shoot at my range, it's going to be $10 for the night to shoot. Well, if you come on the second Friday of the nights when we have our round robin competitions every second Friday of the month, it's $20 to enter. You get to shoot all night. You get to compete. You get some great training. And who knows? You just might win a gun. Okay. This month, we've got a payphone gun safe, which is cool. I was showing everybody last night how it works. They didn't realize thing it was until I showed them how it works. So it's the actual payphone gun safe, not a phone booth with a sliding glass. It's the one that stands vertically and the payphone is inside there. And that payphone opens up and you're able to hide your valuables in there. So it's pretty cool. Check it out. I'll be putting a picture up online on Facebook soon. 15th, We're going to be having a travel seminar. My special guest today will be Mark Boyer, and he's going to be talking about traveling abroad, and he's very thorough. So we're going to be setting it up most likely on the 15th. I'll confirm it once he gets here, a travel seminar for anybody traveling in the very near future who wants to learn the tricks on how to preserve your valuables and your life. You need to come check out this seminar. July 21st, third Friday of the month, is Ladies Night. The ladies get free range time at Aaron's Gun Shop Indoor Range. Come on out there Friday night, the third Friday of the month. This month, it's going to be the 21st. Ladies night, ladies shoot for free. Range time is free. Guys, sorry, I'm taking your money. July 22nd, we're setting up a license to carry class. I was able to squeeze one in there. And that is $60 for the new person, $40 for a refresher course. And I highly recommend, I can't recommend enough, for those of you who have a license to carry, or if you still got your old cards, it still says concealed handgun license, basically the same thing. I highly recommend that you do refresher courses. Now, I also offer this. If you've got a family or a bunch of friends and you come in a group of five or more, I'll drop that down 50%. So it'd be like $30 a person to take the course if it's five or more. So if you call me up and set up a class of five people, and I say, great, you get a 50% discount and only four show up, sorry, it's $60. That's the way that plays on that game. Now, seminars. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com and go to the High Cap Adventure page, you're going to see all the different types of seminars that we have to offer. Got ladies only, co-ed for handgun and protection in your home, shotgun, semi-auto rifles, and specifically one for AR platforms, AR-15 platforms, whether they're pistols, rifles, or whatever caliber, doesn't matter. It's the basic platform, and since there's so many out there, we have a class specifically designed for that. But there's a lot of people out there who don't have ARs, and they have all the other types, like AKs, SKSs, M14s, Mini-14s, M1 Grands, M1 Carbines. All those will fall into the semi-auto class. Go to aaronsgunshop.com. Check out the High Cap Adventure page for all the details on that. Also, I provide an in-home gun familiarization class. That's a 90-minute, $60. Bought a gun and you're not familiar. We had the gun for a while. It works. Hopefully handle it. Tips on how to point shoot and trigger control, all those kind of things. So it's an in-home gun familiarization course. You can contact me at 254-697-4721. That's 254-697-4721. Or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Or shout really loud and maybe I'll hear you. I'll come on over. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, we also have the shop available for private parties. If you have a corporate event or a small business event or a family party, family gathering, and you want to have a place under shelter, a place to shoot, have some food and, you know, have some drinks, whatever, we can set that up in a safe manner. So just contact us at the shop, 254-697-4721, or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an early break, and when we come back after the break, after 11 o'clock, after about 11:01, 11:02, we'll be having the voice of law enforcement, retired Chief Randy Dixon, Police Chief Randy Dixon, on the other side. So we'll see him in just a little bit.
Are you needing repair service for your motorcycles, four-wheelers, ATVs, or farm utility vehicles? Then you need to visit Squirrels Two Wheel Custom in Zobchickville. Squirrels Two Wheel Customs is now located at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville. At Squirrels Two Wheel Customs, you'll find a wide assortment of parts and supplies. And if it's not in stock, David Trojan will take your order and your part or supply will be here in a very short time. Stop by Two Wheel Customs at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville or call 985-2222. That's Squirrels Two Wheel Customs, offering complete repair, service, parts, and supplies for any make or model of motorcycle, ATV, four-wheelers, and farm utility vehicles.
Arch Coons, the owner of AMC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to AMC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. AMC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Are you needing repair service for your motorcycles, four-wheelers, ATVs,
and a whole lot more? AMC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Are you needing repair service for your motorcycles, four-wheelers, ATVs, or farm utility vehicles, then you need to visit Squirrels Two Wheel Custom in Zobchickville. Squirrels Two Wheel Customs is now located at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville. At Squirrels Two Wheel Customs, you'll find a wide assortment of parts and supplies. And if it's not in stock, David Trojan will take your order and your part or supply will be here in a very short time. Stop by Two Wheel Customs at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville or call 985-2222. That's Squirrels Two Wheel Customs, offering complete repair, service, parts, and supplies for any make or model of motorcycle, ATV, four-wheelers, and farm utility vehicles.
It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Morning, everyone. Hope you're having a great Saturday morning. Everybody out, nice little rain, a little cooler today, going to break that 100-degree temperatures. I hope everybody's having a safe weekend so far. I want to also thank our sponsor, Squirrel, out at Two Wheel Customs. I've known him for many, many years. A great young man, great young man. Just remember the phone number to call him in at is 254-760-2250. If there's anybody that could tell you about motorcycles, four-wheelers, that's the man. He is the man. Today, what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about something that is kind of near and dear to my heart, especially when I look in the mirror and I see some white around the dome and I see that, the white hair is taking over the blonde hair I used to have. And I think about, you know, as we get older, what do we do? How is our elder community going to handle that? We see a lot of commercials on TV where it says, I've fallen, I can't get up. Well, unfortunately, that's never the truth. So what I want to do today is I want to talk about our seniors and our community and our safety. Believe me, I fall into that senior category now. I got my AARP. I get my senior discount at the restaurant. So I understand what that's all about. But what do you do if you fall and are alone and can't get up? I wish I knew the answer to that question, folks. In the last few weeks, I know I've seen in the newspaper, I've heard on the scanner, a number of our Central Texas older, mature citizens have been the victim of a household slip, a fall, or a stumble and can't get up. A friend of mine's mother passed away not too long ago, and they said she had fallen and broke her hip, and that's one of the worst things you can do is break your hip when you get older. Over the past few months, the area law enforcement agencies have responded to these tough calls. When the police arrive and they receive information that a senior citizen has fallen, what do the police do? How do they handle that? What is the protocol, you might ask? Unfortunately, they are very limited in their reaction to these situations, to be honest with you. If a family member believes that their loved one is in the house and they're concerned on their welfare, the law enforcement agencies will call emergency medical services and wait for their arrival. Once the EMS is on the scene, the police department, the sheriff's department, whoever it may be, using probably a hooligan tool, which is common to the fire department to enter buildings, doors, etc., will forcibly enter the residence by breaking the door lock and jam in. I'll tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, when they do that, it's going to create damage and it's going to destroy the door frame, the lock plate, and probably the door itself. But what would you rather do? Have that done or your loved one lay there in agony? This will create damage and it will destroy. There's an easier way to get into the house, though, folks. You bet there's an easier way to get into the house. Simply leave a key with a trusted neighbor or a relative. You know, I know we're worried many times about where we live and how we live and about having our privacy. But if you get up in years, and especially if you're alone, you need to have someone you trust that has a key to your house that can help you in the event of a problem. If you don't have that, otherwise, the way the police department, the law enforcement, the sheriff's department is going to enter your house is going to be not pretty, but they're going to get in to make sure you're medically okay. Unfortunately, many older citizens, individuals, have fallen and laid there for hours before anyone checks on them, and some have been found deceased, unfortunately. Law enforcement needs you, the senior homeowner, to take what you do, where you live, help law enforcement out. Let me talk a minute about a number of suggestions to make you safer and help you with what you're doing as your years go by. But number one, I'm not trying to be derogatory to anybody in their years. We all need help as we get older. But I want to give you three of the most important of all suggestions that I can think of as you get older in life. First, please make sure you have home address numbers on your home as they can be reviewed easily from the road. Many cities have ordinances that require the homeowner to have numbers displayed on their homes of at least 3 inches tall and of a contrasting color. At night, it's so hard for the police and EMS to find your home if you don't have those on clearly visible. Many times I've worked night shift. For my first 7 years in law enforcement, I worked nothing but nights. And when you go to somewhere that's pitch dark and you can't see, you can use your spotlights, your flashlights. But if there's no numbers on the home, you're going to be guessing where you're at. Take the time, folks. Spend the $10. Spend the $5. Put good numbers on your house. You know, a lot of people put them on their mailbox. You actually need them on your residence yourself. Have numbers clearly visible from the road. Secondly, somewhere around your front door, make, write, or have someone put a small placard that leaves a number for anyone to contact in case of an emergency. And you say, well, I don't want people to know where I live, my loved one's phone numbers. Folks, come on. As you're getting older, we need to rely on people. There's nothing wrong with putting a little phone number beside your door that says, in case of an emergency, please contact this person. You don't necessarily have to list that person's name, but a set of numbers on who to contact would save you so many ways. Put a couple of people who you know that are around you that would be able to come over and help you. It's just something you can do that's going to lessen the chances of you of law enforcement and EMS from not being able to get into your home. We want to be able to get in there to see if you're okay, if you're not okay. You know, law enforcement has to enter your home by force, breaking down the door sometimes, and that's going to happen. And I'll tell you right now, if you make it where they don't have to do that, it's going to be so much easier for the homeowner and for the senior citizen that has been maybe hurt or maybe not even there. And I'll tell you right now, if law enforcement, if the fire department, if the EMS, if they have to force entry into your home, they're not going to pay to repair it. They're not liable to repair it. They're not required to repair it. They're trying to save your life, save you. You know, I think a lot of times when you get into a home and you're called there and people call law enforcement or the fire to get into your house, you know, I've often thought, well, you know, that individual that's supposed to be in that house may be out visiting Cousin Maybell or Uncle Francisco, who knows? But if you don't have someone to contact, someone we know that we can contact to let you know where you're at, there is no other options but a forced entry into that house. The third recommendation, and maybe one of the most important that I can make to you folks, is to think about your own personal situation. If you're up there in years and when I'm talking about years, I'm talking about, it doesn't have to be 80 or 90. It can be 60. It can be 65. If you're up there in years and getting around is a little harder and less agile and you have health issues, get a body monitoring system. You know, you see them advertised on TV. They're not that expensive, folks. They're really not. There's places in Temple that have them, Austin, Waco. You can get them on. You can get them online. You can get them over the TV. But these little handy necklaces have a small remote control, an inch or two in size, that can be activated if you've fallen or sick or if you can't get up, or even if there's an intruder in the house. Local alarm companies have these devices for sale and monitoring. And honestly, the cost per month for a year for these devices would be less than the cost of having to replace the door jam, and a lock to your home, you know, if the police have to force their way in. And no, if law enforcement does have to break in your home, once again, they're not required to pay for the damage that is done by breaking into that house. Therefore, and this is what I'm saying, a real big therefore, please think about having emergency numbers posted somewhere where we can find out, where law enforcement can find out, where that emergency monitor. There are also other safety factors as well I'd like to, for each of you in our Central Texas area to think about. Staying home is not just more comfortable for some seniors, but also maybe more economic sense. And what I mean by staying at home, the average fee for moving to an assisted living facility, which provides aid with daily living for seniors, can cost upward to $34,000 to $35,000 per year. And if you retire to a more expensive area, it can run $7,000 or $8,000 a month even. And I realize most people can't afford that. But an individual can live at home safely and can stay at home with a lot of respect. But you have to be safe. You have to think about it. You have to plan for that. You know, health problems and the side effects from medications can increase chances of injury in the home when an elderly person is already having a harder time getting around. As a family member, please take care of your older people, your older citizens. You know, My folks were in their 80s before they passed, and my sister got with her. I can't say enough about my sisters who helped keep my parents going until the very end. We need to reinvent that. Remember, they're the ones that changed your diapers, who fed you when you couldn't eat and you couldn't go to the bathroom on your own. Take care of the older people. The risk of falling increases as we get older. The leading cause of death among adults 65 and over is falling, which results in a broken hip, bones, and ultimately they don't get out of the hospital many times. You know, there's a simple ways to age in the place you love, in the comfort of your home. And let me give you a few ideas, staying some tips describing easy ways to seniorize a home to make it safer. Make sure there are clear fire escape routes. Make sure that you've got smoke alarms in every single bedroom, living room, kitchen in your house. If you don't have them in there, call your local fire department. See if they have some kind of assistance program, some kind of help program. You need the fire alarm systems in your home. And make sure the batteries are checked regularly. Have a small handheld fire extinguisher in the kitchen. Keep your home well lit, especially areas like stairways, porches, and outside walkways. Stumbling is a problem. Get extra light switches or remote switches, such as those that you go on or off when you clap your hands. We laugh about those on TV. We laugh about how they look, but folks, as a senior, as someone who may be a little less eyesight-wise, things like this help us in a lot of ways. Also, an older American may experience problems with balance, walking, or have poor eyesight. You know, and it makes these create hazards in your home. It identifies potential hazards. Look to remove or repair items that may cause tripping. Remove raised doorway thresholds. Remove throw rugs and clutter that many times we slip on them. Repair loose carpet or raise the areas of the floor that may need to be raised so you don't trip on it, or maybe the lower so you don't trip on it. And also, and this is really important too, and I know it's hard many times, but if something is spilt, if Fido makes a little bit of a mistake on the carpet or on the linoleum, wipe it up immediately. That can create a slip hazard, and we want to make sure that that doesn't happen with you. Use night lights in your hallways and bathrooms. Lights on the inside of your house, your home, are a great deterrent that would be intruders as well. You know, and accidents in the bathroom, such as slipping, are common. There are ways to prevent it. And I'll be honest with you, I recently slipped getting out of my shower and hit hard. I just laid there for a few minutes. I thought I had already broken every bone I've got. I didn't, obviously, but I got up and I thought to myself, what if I had been by myself and I had broke something? How long would I have laid there? How long could I have crawled to get help? Then I thought, how embarrassing would it be if I had to call EMS or the police department or the local sheriff's department to come see me with me laying there next to the Jaybird? You know, with things like that we think about. There's some things you could do not to take a tumble like I did. Install grab handles in the bathrooms. Place non-skid maps inside and outside your shower or tub and near the toilet and sinks. All these little things like this can help you keep your balance and keep you from struggling. A lot of people, as they get older, they need to put shower chairs or shower benches inside their bathtubs. You know, the major reason people slip and fall in the bathroom is stepping out of the bathtub or stepping out of the shower. Have something to hold on to, and many times something to get your balance before you do. And last but not least, folks, make daily activities simpler. Simple changes in a home can help an older adult conserve more energy. Let me give you a few ideas that you can do to make activities simpler. Store all your household items on the lower shelves so that you don't have to reach up and lose your balance. If you have trouble seeing, purchase a phone with larger numbers from a medical supply store. And don't try to carry too many things at one time. Little simple things like this are something that we can do that can keep us safe. You know, there's a lot of great people out there. Our older Americans are what made this America the great generation. The baby boomers. The baby boomers are now becoming the older generation. But we have to take care of ourselves. We have to plan that we're not as nimble, as agile, and as quick as we used to be. There's nothing wrong with that. We've earned the right as being older citizens to be able to take care of ourselves in a different way, in a different form, in a different fashion. So with that being said, the last thing I want to talk about is this, folks. In a short week or so, it's the 4th of July. Do me a favor. If you're going to pop firecrackers. Don't take guns and shoot them up in the air, because when they come down, they're going to land somewhere. They're going to hurt people. That was one of the issues I had here when I was chief in Cameron, is that some reason people on the 4th of July and on New Year's thought that the way to celebrate was shooting guns up in the air. Not a smart thing to do, folks. Have a great 4th of July. Have a designated driver. Understand your limitations and enjoy yourselves. So until next week, folks, this is Randy Dixon. Hope everyone has a great, great week. Stay out of trouble and be safe, everybody.
Are you needing repair service for your motorcycles, four-wheelers, ATVs, or farm utility vehicles? Then you need to visit Squirrels Two Wheel Custom in Zobchickville. Squirrels Two Wheel Customs is now located at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville. At Squirrels Two Wheel Customs, you'll find a wide assortment of parts and supplies. And if it's not in stock, David Trojan will take your order and your part or supply will be here in a very short time. Stop by Two Wheel Customs at 16162 Highway 53 in Zobchickville or call 985-2222. That's Squirrels Two Wheel Customs, offering complete repair, service, parts, and supplies for any make or model of motorcycle, ATV, four-wheelers, and farm utility vehicles.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program. It's June 24th. I want to make a correction, a phone number correction on Two Wheel Customs ad there. The number was wrong. It's 254-760-2250. Again, that number is for Two Wheel Customs, 254-760-2250. And like all my sponsors, please support them. Let them know they heard your ad, you heard their ad, and support them, because if you like this program, it stays on the air by people like them who support me. Thank you. All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna go over our product spotlight, and we got some cool music. Let's play it, Joel. Let's see how that sounds real quick. Gist of it here, but ANC Firearms, we're going to be going over the Remington Nylon 66. It's the 22 long rifle. Again, this segment is sponsored by ANC Firearms and Hide and Hammer. You can reach them at 254-983-4417. Arch Koontz is the owner. He's got a great staff, Clint, Mike, and Dennis. And here's the deal. If we ever talk about a gun on this program, it's a spotlight from their store, and if they don't have it anymore, they can get it for you, unless it's just a specialty item and it's one of a kind or something. But if for some reason they have one in their shop and we're talking about it and they sell it, tell them I heard it on there, I want one, they'll go get you another one. It's not a problem, okay? Now, I've always had a fascination with the Remington Nylon 66. It literally was a love-hate relationship. It looked great, but felt weird. It looked funny, but shot superbly. It was totally different from anything I was used to. Now, however, I think it's one of the coolest things since buttered toast. I mean, it's a really cool gun. It's an awesome 22 semi, and ANC has one new, unfired, in the original box waiting for you to add it to your collection. And you better hurry, because I may beat you to it. Let me read to you the parts of an excellent article written about the Nylon 66 that I got off NRA.com. It's truly an impressive gun, okay? Now, this one here, it's a long article. You really need to read the whole thing, but I'm just going to read bits and pieces of it. And here we go. This is by John Guide and Roy Marcotte from NRA.com. It's the Remington, yeah, Marcotte, yeah. NRA.com here. Okay. In the early 1950s, Remington Arms Company did not have a mid-price 22 cal, Joel, let's kill that static, did not have a mid-price 22 cal semi-automatic rifle. Management knew that there were three high-cost components of any sporting arm: the barrel, receiver, and stock. Engineers analyzed each to see if any significant cost savings could be obtained. They soon concluded that the barrels did not offer much opportunity for savings, so they focused on the receivers and stocks. Remington asked the chemical engineers at DuPont to come up with a plastic that could replace both the wooden stock and the receiver. Now, check this out. They had some major specs here. These specs given to the DuPont Chemical Development Department in the early 1950s were, the material must be capable of forming any shape desired. It must have high tensile impact and flexural strength. It must have high abrasion resistance. It must have high resistance to heat distortion. It must be resistant to cold temperatures. It must, if exposed to flame, not continue to burn when that flame is removed. It must be impervious to solvents, oils, mild acids, alkalis, fungus, rodents, and insects. It must have a finish that is easy to repair. It must be light in weight. It must hold a permanent color. It must have no corrosive effect on other parts, and it must be self-lubricating and dimensionally stable. That's a lot to ask, but they came up with it. DuPont's control of Remington since 1933 provided a resource for the new synthetic rifle stock, which was a radical concept of combination receiver stock as one unit made entirely of injected molded plastic. In less than 4 months, DuPont's engineers came back to Remington with nylon Zytel-101. The nylon story began when DuPont operated a research and development laboratory called Purity Hall. The lab's name was to emphasize the separation of the R&D work from the production at DuPont. The efforts of Gerald Burchett and Wallace Carruthers resulted in 81 new polyamides in 1935. From those new polymers, polyamide 6-6 was chosen for further testing. 6-6, get it? It was soon after referred to as fiber 66. The name nylon was adopted by DuPont soon after. The first practical use of the new material was for ladies' stockings, which were and still are called nylons. The actual DuPont material was structural Zytel nylon 101, a member of the nylon 66 family of plastics. So you see where the nylon 66 comes in? Now, the assembled rifle was then tested by firing 75,000 rounds with malfunction rate of only 0.005%. Refinements on this prototype continued through the summer and fall of 1955. Testing continued to ensure there would be no distortions during molding and that stock shrinkage would not occur after the rifle was assembled. Remington design engineers launched the most extensive field testing program it has ever attempted, conducting tests almost continuously in late 1955, 56, 57, and into 58. Hundreds of thousands of rounds were fired. In January 1958, Remington provided each of its sales representatives two prototype models for field testing. The salesmen were asked to fire a minimum of 1,000 rounds in each gun under adverse conditions, then return the gun with the results within 30 days. On February 23, 1958, salesman Delbert Connor sent his written report to Wayne Leake, Remington's primary gun designer of the day. Connor's summary was 4 pages long, and his report began, "My first impression of these guns was that they were just toys, or maybe air rifles for Buck Rogers. I doubt that the color or material will make much difference on the first showings. The public will refer to them as plastic." Connor then went into detail about the testing routine to which he subjected the rifles. He fired 2,000 rounds of various brands of ammunition. He held the guns right side up, upside down, sideways. He fired slowly, then rapid fire by fanning his finger on the trigger until the barrel on one of the test guns was too hot to touch. He tested the gun in blinding windstorm with blowing sand. Then he deliberately drove his station wagon over once, front and rear tires. The next morning, he took it into a boat to the middle of the lake and then lowered it, fully loaded, to the bottom with the string on the trigger guard. He retrieved it, drained the water, and shot 100 rounds without a malfunction. He did manage to crack the front stock by deliberately dropping a gun from an unspecified elevation, that sounds pretty high, onto a concrete sidewalk. He reported that it functioned flawlessly both before and after that incident. His summary stated, "Looks like a plastic toy, performance and accuracy unbelievable." And then he returned the rifles to Lillian, but wrote, "I would surely like to have one back. Charged this one to my sample account if and when available." So here you got a guy who just loved the darn thing, proven itself. And then between 1959 and 1969, Remington offered the following guarantee on all nylon 66 rifles. "We guarantee this stock will not warp, crack, chip, fade, or peel for the life of the rifle, or we will replace it free. The butt plate and the fore-end tip and the pistol grip cap were all black plastic bonded in place. Each had a white spacer. There were two reinforcing screws with nuts under the receiver cover, and there was one more under the ivory white diamond on each side of the forend." The legacy of the Nylon 66. The Nylon 66 was a huge gamble for Remington, as traditionally guns had wood stocks. but it was a huge success. The end result was that it became the most successful 22 caliber rimfire rifle that was ever made, with total production of more than 1 million by 1991, when the Nylon 66 was discontinued. The Nylons have been a love or hate 'em gun ever since they were introduced. The appearance and feel were certainly not traditional. The love 'em seemed to be winning, judging by the collector interest in the price escalation of the less common variations. Will Remington ever bring back this low-cost, lightweight 22? Only time will tell. Now, with that, because they stopped in 91, ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-983-4417, has one, brand new, unfired, in the box. It's awesome. It looks sexy as heck. You pick it up, it feels good. You just want to stroke it. I mean, it's just nice. Give them a call. There's only one. So on this one, whoever gets it first gets it. 254-983-4417. That's ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-983-4417. You need to go pick it up, because if you don't, I probably might. All right, Joel, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back straight at 11:30 with my special guest, retired Green Beret Mark Boyer, going to be talking about traveling abroad. And if you're traveling, you better be taking notes. This guy's incredible with the information he's about to give you. Be back on the other side.
Sometimes things happen. It might be trouble or a tough spot. Whatever the reason, you should be sure to have the right people on your side. So contact Twin Pistol Bail Bonds in Cameron anytime at 254-697-6035. Just ask for Lisa Roden or Dustin Thomas. Trusted associates when you're in a pinch. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds also accepts credit and debit cards. Call them at 697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, serving the Milam County area.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms. Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
That's right, everybody. We're back in the saddle here, and I got next to me retired Green Beret Mark Boyer with me. This guy is awesome. After 30 years of service and traveling the world, Mark is with us to discuss the things you need, the nice things to have, and the security you must maintain when traveling abroad. All bases will be covered. This is a must-listen-to interview for all who travel or plan to. So with that, Mark, welcome back to the show, buddy.
Well, thank you very much, and it's great timing because we got some big holidays coming up, and a lot of people are really interested in traveling. They're going to be going overseas, and even if you're not going overseas, there's a lot of things to consider just right here at home. If you're going to Florida, New York City, everybody loves New York City, including the bad guys out there that want to do you harm.
I want to make a comment from that. You came over to the house and was helping my son out, Dylan, because he's planning on going to France. And I know you know your stuff, but the way you are so organized, so thorough, that every I is dotted, every T is crossed, it's impressive, dude. It's impressive to the point of sexy, okay? So what we're going to do, everybody, he's going to give you a basic outline of what's going on what to do to prepare for traveling. And I don't know how you want to do it. I'm going to kind of shut up. I know it, but I don't know how to explain it. And there's a lot of stuff I don't know, I had no clue about. And you're just like, whoa. So talk to us.
Well, Matt, after I retired, I started working for several high-end companies and some very key position people. They wanted to do a lot of travel. They wanted to do a lot of business overseas. And so I've been doing this for now for almost 10 years. And it's becoming second nature to me. So I've got a checklist. The first thing that I always like to think about is, first, I need to relax. I need to go with an open mind and just do my research. And if everybody does that, then it'll be a better trip for everyone. It'll be safe. And the trips are either for business or for pleasure, to visit family, visit sites, traveling, living out those dreams. But everybody usually focuses on just the event itself. And then when they get there, they freak out a little bit because they don't really know. So if they do their search ahead of time and they do their proper planning, then having that confidence of knowing that you've done your homework, you're going to be able to go over there and just really enjoy yourself no matter where you're going.
I want to make a comment too. I mean, you're not just talking about the civilian aspect of it. For all you military personnel out there or contractors, maybe your first time going overseas to do your duties or whatever, you need to contact this man and set it up. He will get you squared away. So either or, for pleasure or for business, whether it's a trip to the beaches of France or you're doing some other type of beach work in a sandbox called, I don't know, Afghanistan, Iraq, Congo, whatever, okay? You need to talk to this man, so go ahead.
Okay, that's great. And if anybody does want to plan a trip, or if there's any business people out there wanting to do business in a third world country, then contact Matt at his radio, or at the gun shop, Aaron'sGuns.com.
Aaron'sGunshop.com, or give us a call at 254-697-4721, but we'll link you up with Mark, and we'll set you up, too, if people want to contact you.
Well, you betcha. You betcha. And again, for contractors, especially, doing some research, I found out that the State Department actually listed 25 countries that are the most dangerous in the world for American tourists, and I've operated and planned operations in about 20 of them, actually. And recently just got back from Chad, Nigeria, and Niger, and before that, the Congo. So I'm pretty familiar with Africa, but also Europe. But when I do this, I like to do my homework. And being a former military guy and contractors, when you're doing your organizational skills, a lot of us are very used to the term shoot, move, and communicate. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a military term, but when I consider shooting, I'm thinking about what is going to keep me safe. And so it's going to be self-preservation, things like medicine, making sure I'm healthy, make sure the other country has health facilities that I might need. Moving is the actual flow of booking your airplane tickets. What kind of tickets do you want? Do you want to travel by ship? Do you want to travel by bus, by train? And then also communications is very key, because you want to know people, you want to network, you want to be able to call home if necessary, different things like that. So using shoot, move, and communicate, I've broke down an outline, and I'm just going to hit on some high points on that.
Hey, Mark, I want to interrupt you 1 second, because I want everybody to understand this here. And correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, I know you provide services to people and they contact you, you know, for a fee, you'll take care of them. But what we're talking about with a travel agent, and I always use this analogy, you got a sidewalk with the big slabs of concrete. Travel agents are slabs of concrete. But in between those slabs of concrete, there's cracks. And that's where all the information is. You're the crack in the sidewalk. Okay?
Yeah.
So ladies and gentlemen, when you go get your ticket from the travel agent and they book all your flights and all this stuff, this is the guy you need to talk to for all the information in the crack. So I know you provide the service. We'll probably talk about that in a little bit and how they can contact you and all that. And we'll do it. But I just wanted to get that out there.
Well, travel agents are a very key part. It's great. They usually have a network of people that can help streamline everything. But again, they're also in the market of selling the product. And they're not going to tell you necessarily all the bad things or the bad history or the bad reviews. They're out there to sell a product. And I use them all the time, but I use them as a reference point. I do all the homework myself. So that's a very good touch. It's very good. And another key point is that travel should be fun, and it can be if you remove all the doubt and if you travel with confidence. And we can maximize our safety and security and sanity by minimizing the risk and the liability. And that all comes from doing your homework. When you do your homework, first you got to assess the situation and figure out the country that you're going to be going to. Or if you're going to be going to New York or California, Las Vegas, you need to actually go on YouTube, go to TripAdvisor, go to Expedia.com, and start looking at some of the reviews, some of the things to do. Don't look just at the first five. Go to the bottom of the list and figure out what's really wrong. Look at some of the bad reviews, but look at the current reviews. Don't look at some of the other ones. Always check your dates when you're looking at reviews. And then just start planning on having fun. And shooting, or safekeeping in our planning phase. I have like a whiteboard. I love whiteboards. So I've got a big whiteboard that says our safekeeping or shooting. We need to be sure that we're physically able to actually make the trip. If you're feeling sick, it might be good to just postpone it. Push it back a little while until you're feeling good enough to actually enjoy it. Do you have your medications ready? Do you have a prescription med that's about ready to go out? So you want to be sure that you stock up on that. And if you have a limited supply or you think you might need some overseas, go to that location. Go on YouTube or Google Earth. Go down to the street view. Look around, because as Dylan's going over to his location,
I've already located
a pharmacy across the street from the front door of his hotel.
Do you pause for a second?
Yes, sir. I've paused.
I've got to make a comment. Ladies and gentlemen, he's taking care of my son Dylan when it comes to planning. And Dylan and I are reading his email to us, and we're standing there with our eyes closed, imagining him telling us where we're standing, looking to the right, approximately 25 meters is this, looking to the left, approximately 15 meters is that, around the corner is this in case you need it, probably a good place to go, good contacts. He has given such detailed information, it's as though when you walk out the door at that location, you've already been there, which makes you look less vulnerable. I think it's fantastic. And he can do this for you, too. I mean, he can set you up. You give us packets. You can set people up with packets. It's almost as though they've been there.
Well, thanks for that. It's just curiosity and interest. And if you can check into a hotel at midnight, get up at 6 in the morning, and know that there's a cafe right down the street that caters to your needs. Like, in this case, there's an African or an American cafe 50 meters to the left of his hotel as he walks out. Yeah, it's just really good. And it's fun to do your research. Going back to medications, though, travel with a first aid kit. And in that first aid kit, we're not talking just Band-Aids and penicillin. We're talking about maybe medicine for anti-inflammatories, diarrhea, anti-diarrhea, cold medicine. Because as you travel overseas or on the airplane, you're liable to catch a cold. And you don't want to go look at the Louvre Museum with a head cold, sneezing and puking everywhere.
That's right.
So some of these things, eye drops. If you're going to a desert-type environment, your eyes are going to get dried out. And that means they're going to be even more accessible to pink eye and some other problems. So take care of your eyes. And also, always remember the sunblock. I've had several skin cancers cut out because of the sun exposure in the desert, in the Sahara, in Africa. So wear sunblock, people. And wear a very large-rimmed hat.
If you're in a vicinity of North Korea, maybe the highest sunblock you can get. 3 million sunblock in case you have nuclear explosions.
Also, we'll touch into this later, but anti-malaria medicine and maybe a mosquito net would be helpful for that. Safekeeping also covers your facilities that are available and locations at your destinations. Key example on that is pharmacies and hospitals in your area. You can find that out on Google Earth, thank God. And you can actually figure out the travel distances to those locations. But also, when you check into your hotel, or if you call your hotel in advance, you can ask them if there is a hotel doctor available. And also, what is response time for emergency medical personnel? That played key in Senegal, in Dakar. We had somebody who had an allergic reaction. The in-house doctor alerted his staff, and they were evac to a hospital within 15 minutes. It's because we had prior coordination with that doctor before we even landed on the ground. He knew exactly what we had to have. Allergies, outbreaks, and medical travel restrictions, such as Ebola, yellow fever, and meningitis. Now, in Niger, Senegal, Liberia, we faced all of those issues. And you just have to be smart. Go to the U.S. State Department or the Central for Disease Control and Prevention. You can go to their websites and look at their alerts and see what is actually required for you to travel, such as immunizations and your yellow fever shot. But you can also see the epidemic outbreaks that are taking place in that area at that time. Hepatitis C is coming on the rise in a lot of places, hepatitis B, and especially in Africa and parts of Middle East. Those are things that you have to be aware of and prepare for that. Rabies and hantavirus, those are things that you can prepare for in advance. You can take medicine for those things, and you can also learn to avoid those areas that are in question. Again, check the U.S. State Department and enroll in their Smart Traveler Enrollment Program. A lot of the contractors know this as the STEP or the STEP program. And what happens is if you go to their website, U.S. State Department, and under their travelers page, you'll find the STEP. What you do is you enroll in that. You notify them that you're traveling to a certain country for such and such a time. You're going to be staying at such and such a location. And as in Uganda, as in Nigeria, Niger, France, Germany, especially Belgium recently. Whenever there's a riot, a demonstration planned, or an emergency situation, they will notify you on your phone or through an email as to certain locations to avoid. And if necessary, you have to be evacuated out of that country, they can contact you and tell you that they'll have the Marine recovery team at your front door in 30 minutes. And there are certain things that they will help you with, including embassy or access to the embassy. If your visa is expired, if you're sick in a hospital and your visa is about to run out, then you can contact them. They will send a representative to you with proper coordination, and you can get an extension if necessary. But you have to do the groundwork, and you have to research all these options, because if you don't do this, they're not going to know that you're in country. Proper clothing. A lot of people will want to go on a safari into Africa, or they'll want to perhaps go into Europe. They see it's summertime, they think they're going to get by with just nice light clothes, but they forget about the night chill and the altitude. So do your research, dress accordingly for the environment that you're going in. Weapons. A lot of people, you and I especially, when we travel, we love to have weapons with us. But avoid the headache. Please, when you travel, for one, here in the States especially, check the reciprocity laws and make sure that you can travel with guns or without guns. But just don't stop there. Voice of Experience is telling me that you also have to check tasers, pepper spray, sometimes harsh language, depending if you're going to California.
That's right.
So just
I'm very sensitive over there.
And be smart about that. Recently, I was stopped, and even though I had a machete in the back seat, they said, oh, that's legal. You can trim bush with that, but you can't have a taser. No, you can't do that. Your property while traveling. This is part of our safekeeping. If you get on Facebook or social media and you tell all your friends and family you're going on a 7-week or a 7-day cruise to the Bahamas, you're also telling a lot of other people that you're not going to be home for those 7 days. And they're going to bust down your door and they're going to steal all your brownies, okay? So, be careful who you tell that you're going on vacation and when your house is going to be unsecure. If you're going away, hold all your mail, keep it at the post office where it's safe. Tell your neighbors to keep an eye on your house for you for strange activity, people driving up in your driveway. You can set timers in your house to keep the lights on and off. Now you can even do that with your smartphone if you have a good system in your house. You also have remote cameras that you can access on your phone at all times. If you see something suspicious, then you can always call your neighbor and say, hey, go check on the back door. I see something going on. Just recently in Temple, we had two chuckleheads go up to somebody's house. It was on the news 2 days ago. And they robbed the packages right off the doorstep.
I saw that.
And they were even looking at the mini cam.
That's right.
So the technology is out there. Use it if you're going away, but don't advertise it. Wait until you get back and tell all of your friends what a great time you had.
And remember, everybody, you know, this is what you need to do. Mark does this. He can help you. He's the man of experience. Keep going. I just don't want to burn up the time where we don't promote that. And I'll tell you what, if you want to give us a call here, 254-697-6633. If you got a quick question or something or a topic on this traveling segment, feel free to give us a call. Go ahead, Mark. Because I know a lot of people out here travel.
I've only started on the one paragraph. I'll try to streamline this a little bit better.
Well, wait, let's do this. We'll get back to this in a second.
Okay.
You have somebody about to travel, and they go, oh, wow, you know, I never thought about all this kind of stuff, you know? And so, okay, I contact Mark. He's going to do what for me? He's going to do your brain work. He's going to ask you questions. He's going to think, where are you going? What are you doing? What do you need? And he's going to basically do what he did for my son, give a great evaluation and a listing of all the things you need to take care of. And you're put at ease. It's almost like, I'm going here, but I got somebody covering my back. Mark's covering your six when he's 1,000 miles away or something.
Oh, I can do that. All right, when my daughter went on spring break, I had my friends down south of the border cover her, and I called the security guy at the hotel. I made sure that she was being watched. Oh, yeah.
You're a man of many contacts.
I've got a lot invested in that young girl. Okay, talking about moving and travel planning. First off, check that State Department website. A lot of us don't trust the State Department, but they do put out good information. Decide on your base and your central location. If you're going to Las Vegas, focus around one hotel. Use that hotel as a casino as a base of operations. And then take your trips away from there, but always let somebody know where you're going and when you're going to be back and who's going with you. if you're going overseas, perhaps to Central African Republic, then you need to have a central base of location, such as in the capital or another country that you can hop in and out of. Europe, there's a lot of good hotels, good travel services that are credentialed. Do your reviews and make sure that you use that as a base of operations and use them as a hub facilitator. Learn the customs and courtesies of that foreign country or that location. Especially like in the Middle East, if you go into Dubai and you're holding hands with your sweetheart and you give her a kiss on the cheek, that's a public display of affection and you can be arrested for that. So be very careful of that. Public drunkenness, you're going to jail for that one. A lot of these countries don't even allow alcohol, so leave the small bottles on the plane. Learn the customs and courtesies of that country. I can't specify that enough. Holidays. When you arrive at that country, make sure that it's not like in a very sensitive holiday that America might have bombed that country at one time and you're landing on that day. That has happened. When I went to Greece for my first time, they had just issues from another country, and I'm walking out with a group of people from that country, and I got sucked into that fiasco. That was a terrible mess. Passport. Once you check that State Department website, they're going to tell you what is required for you to travel. Is a visa required? And make sure that your passport is current and it's not going to expire when you're overseas. With that passport comes extra passport photos. You always need to travel with at least 4 extra photos, because once you're in country, as in Chad, you will have to go to a local police department and get a secondary form of identification allowing you in that country for such and such time. Also, if you're getting a foreign driver's license or a driver's permit, then you are also going to have extra passport photos for that one.
That right there to me is like a major, oh wow, that's going to save me time and headache. Just that little tidbit of information right there, you know?
And some of these places will have passport photo booths right across the street, and you're going to be paying about $20 for a 20-cent passport photo that you could have already had with you. And also, that delays everything. That delays the whole process of you having a fun excursion. So be prepared for that. In that passport folder, you also want to have your shot records. You can have shot records printed out on a sheet of paper and make it all pretty. A lot of people would question that, though, because anybody can get on a word processor and do that. However, if you have the small yellow booklet that the health facilities, hospitals, and other agencies will provide you, then you have that stamped, and every international country is used to seeing that one packet. Make sure they're up to date, and make sure that you have all the immunizations required, or they're going to put you back on that plane and send you out of the country. You're going to be stuck at that airport until you can get funds to get on the next plane out. I thought Matt was going to say something there.
No, I'm listening with awe.
Emergency passport copies. Your passport is going to be the most important document that you have with you, and you need to protect that at all times. So do not have it like in a loose bag. Have it on your person at all times. When you get to the hotel, put it in a hotel safe. Now, that being said, while you're traveling, you want that with you. But if you're leaving the hotel and you're going to go look at a museum in Germany, or if you're going to go on a dinner out someplace, have a black and white photocopy of that passport, either folded or shrunk down to a wallet size, that you can have and it's still legible. That way, if you are stopped at a hotel or a taxi cab, maybe the taxi cab driver takes you to a police station and say you didn't pay the proper amount, which happens quite a bit, so they can get more money out of you. They're going to ask for your identification. A Texas driver's license is great. It's perfect. Everybody respects Texas. But if they ask for your passport, you can hand them a photocopy of it and say that the other passport is locked at your hotel in a secured safe. They should respect that. Also, on that paper copy, you can also superimpose points of contact for emergency contact, your blood type, any allergies that you might have. If you're a diabetic and you possibly go into a diabetic coma, they're going to check your wallet. Or some people might even steal the cash out of your wallet. But if you have a document saying, yes, I'm diabetic, or yes, I have seizures, or I have an allergic reaction to something, you have that information with you at that time. A med alert bracelet is a great thing. Getting back to travel planning,
Tell you what, Mark.
Yes.
We're running out of time. Here's what I want to do.
Oh, man.
Joel, what I want to do, let's take about a 1 minute break. Give me something here. And when we come back, we're going to regroup during that 1 minute because I need to back off from 12 just to do some final notes.
Sure.
And when we come back, we'll give Mark two or three more minutes to go. So give me a commercial break, 1 to 2 minutes. I'll let you.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capolino Dodd Krebs.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who's been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Butros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Welcome back, everybody. Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, June 24th, 2017. I'm here speaking with retired Green Beret Mark Borer, talking about traveling abroad. And we're finishing up on the show here in this segment. Mark, before we go any further, we have tentatively set a date for the 15th of this month, July 15th, as a class for those who want to participate with you on what to do or maybe hire you to prepare them, so on and so forth. So why don't you give people information on how they can make contact with you, and maybe we'll set this thing up here.
Okay, well, first, if you'd like to call me, my name is Mark Borer, and my number is area code 254-482-0051. And my email is markboyer935@yahoo.com. I'd be very happy to talk to anybody who wants to travel because I want everyone to travel safely, especially with the upcoming holidays. 4th of July is going to be a big target on Americans' backs overseas. So contact me and we'll coordinate something for the seminar coming up on the 15th.
And I'll be posting details on the seminar prior to the 15th, of course. I'll give all the details, what it takes to participate, so on and so forth. But if you've got something coming up and you want to have Mark's expertise before you travel abroad, if you're not experienced in doing that, this is the man to talk to. Okay, Mark, why don't you got about a minute here. Can you just wrap this up? Give me a summary of everything so people have an idea of the importance of prepping.
Okay, prepping is doing your research. Do your research. Think outside the box. Stay focused on your primary target. You want to have fun. You want to do business. But think outside the box and think what else you can add to it and what you can take away from it. Be safe. And key thing is, if it looks wrong, feels wrong, sounds wrong, it probably is wrong. You don't have to do it. Be smart and come back home safe with a lot of fun. Good stories. Good times.
You know, everybody wants to have a good time. Everybody doesn't really think about what can potentially happen except for guys like us, right? But that's our duty. Our duty, we're sentinels. We protect those things.
It's what I do, and it's what I enjoy doing. And if anybody wants me to travel with them, I've got all the credentials required for international travel, and I can guarantee you I'll get you home safe.
That's a fantastic offering right there. All right, how much time we got, Joel? Got 1 minute. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have to wrap it up. Mark, I can't tell you how awesome you are. I've known you for a long time, and I know your credentials, and I know they're to be true, and I'm just like, wow. And I thank you for coming on the show again. But ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, July 1st, that's next Saturday, we'll be on two stations. We'll be replaying this show as the premier show for KRXT 98.5 FM out of Rockdale, starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we'll be right here live next Saturday at 10 o'clock with a new show. So check out aaronsgunshop.com, go to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop, and like us on Facebook at aaronsgunshop.com. Until then, keep your powder dry, and God bless.